This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Gonna launch a three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started back in 1979 when this great local radio station signed on. A full house in the WMJ studios this morning. Ty Taylor with us, and we finally get John Hoshide on the open today. What a call last night down at the Shoebox in Monmouth, Illinois. You know, can we get in the Wayback Machine first? We'll get into the game, of course. But I always remember one of the great stories you tell about this story. Who was the coach of Monmouth back in the day that was really good?
Oh, Mike Miller.
Against Aledo, and they really slammed the Green Dragons.
Beat us 110-29. And the bad thing about the game was that there was another Mike Miller who was a great player for Monmouth, and he was going to set the all-time school scoring record that night. And Bill Piper was my color guy, and Bill was he did the sports desk at WRAM in Monmouth, mm-hmm. and helped me with the games. And he taught biology at Monmouth. So anyway, it's in the third quarter. Miller gets fouled, goes to the line, makes two free throws, sets the all-time scoring record, comes off the floor, sits down, and at that time they're up like 80 to 15 or something like that. So we're thinking, oh, that's great. You know, he got the record. Okay, let's get the game over with, finish it out. And I'll be danged, to start the fourth quarter, he's jumping center. and all the Aledo fans are just going freaking nuts. So the game ends, and I won't say who. I'm trying to remember who they were. I remember who one was, but these two dads sprinted across the floor and met Miller before he could get to the handshake line and just read him the riot act, which he deserved, but the parents probably shouldn't have done that. So we're leaving the gym, me and Bill. It's late, we're the last two guys out of the gym. And Mrs. Miller comes up to Bill, and she goes, "My, those Aledo fans were certainly upset." And I got to give Bill Piper credit. This is a Monmouth guy, the teacher at the school, and he looks at Mrs. Miller and he goes, "Well, Mary," or whatever her name was. She goes, "Well, Mary, I think they had every right to be."
That's amazing.
So it's funny. You say jump ball to begin the fourth quarter.
Right.
Most of the people are saying today, what in the world is he even talking about? Prior to alternating possession. Well, what was the atmosphere like last night in that gym?
It was great. You know, it was full, as you can imagine, and everybody was cranked up. Especially, of course, the Mercer County fans early, since they were doing well. And then when it got going really close down the stretch, both sides were yelling pretty loud.
You know what's crazy about that game last night? So I was monitoring it last night. You know what time you went to halftime at? 7:21.
Oh, yeah.
That's how fast that first half went last night.
There were three fouls in the first half.
7:21. The game tipped off. I was on my phone.
It tipped off a couple minutes early. Yeah, they did like the old started early again. Yeah. I'm like, I got to get more commercials
right
in here, guys.
Exactly. That's how basketball goes.
But and I told Ty, I thought as the season progressed for Mercer County, and despite the concern was the schedule they played late in the LTC, I thought still that team was pretty good, and I thought they were a good matchup for Rockridge, and they proved it last night. And they were a play away from playing Tuesday night in Canton.
Well, and as I told Coach on the post game show, you know, over the years, you've addressed this quite a bit. Of course, you've done all the games, but their defensive intensity last night was the best I've seen a Mercer County / Aledo team have in years against a quality opponent. I mean, they were in Rockridge's face. They quit him, like they said, Coach Harris said, they didn't allow him to do certain things, and it was just a knockdown, drag out. It was, you had to earn a basket last night.
So describe the final possession in regulation. So Mercer County was inbounding where at on the floor?
Underneath the basket.
So baseline entry pass.
Yeah, they had to go the full length of the court with 3 points.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with 3 point seconds left, 3.6. So they inbound.
You're talking about overtime. He asked about regulation.
Oh, in regulation.
There was 6 seconds left in 6.9 regulation.
6.9 seconds left. They're inbounding the ball in front of their bench.
In front of their bench. Okay, yeah. So it's a sideline entry.
Right.
Okay.
So they got it in, and Coach said on the postgame show they wanted to try to get Hoffman to penetrate and then maybe kick out or whatever, and he had some luck penetrating. But Rockridge really shut that down, and he was forced to take a three-pointer with a guy in his face, you know, about 5 feet behind the three-point line. So it was a real contested shot, and really, you know, if it went in, would have gone in, it would have been a oh-my-goodness type deal.
Yeah, so when they, you know, kind of recapping that game, when I was loosely listening, 6-0 right off the bat.
Right.
I'm
boom,
like,
boom,
oh,
two
man.
Threes. Yeah, I'm thinking. Okay.
And then I was kind of, my attention was elsewhere, and then I turned back on, and it was like 9-6 maybe, yeah. Something like that. So Mercer County went on like what type of run after that 6-0 start by?
They got ahead 9-6, so they went on a 9-0 run, and then
it was 10-6 at the end of the first.
Yeah, 10-6 at the end of the first, yeah, so a 10-0 run.
Yeah, what a great game, though.
Yeah, well, it really was. And then in the second quarter, neither team could buy a basket. I mean, the defense was good, but yet they were getting some good looks, and neither team could make a shot.
Oh, and then this is the other thing, and I know one of our loyal listeners is Jeff Schmolbach, right?
Right.
So Baylen Lehman's.
Oh, yeah.
Had a – he saved the day for the Rockets.
In the postseason, yeah.
Now, he's not in the starting lineup, and his minutes vary. This year, right?
Right.
But remember, that kid made the most of his opportunity and credit him to stay with it. And some kids can be unhappy about what their situation is or if they're in the starting lineup or not. But for Baylen Lehman, the Rockets would not be playing Tuesday night.
Steps to the line under a minute to go, a 44% free throw shooter on the season, and drains two. Nothing but net.
Well, boom, and those boom. 8 points he scored in the third quarter bailed them out.
Oh, huge.
Well, and looking at just, you know, Rockridge, like kind of the story with them, you know, you hear people say, well, they have, you know, no depth. And when you go, if you can get them to their bench, you know, you're in good shape. And you look last night, though, like bench points, Rockridge had 10 with Lehman's. Mercer County had just 3. That's the difference in the game. You know, Baylen scored 10 points, hit 2 threes as well. John mentioned the 2 free throws in overtime, but, you know, really great performance by that kid. And in the postseason, you know, you need sometimes an unsung hero to step up, and that's what the Rockets got. And, you know, we talk about two with Rockets. Obviously, I wasn't there, but just throughout the season, throughout this great run they've had over the past 10 years, the reason they've been so good all the time is on the defensive end, right? Where even if there are nights where they don't have it going offensively, like last night, you know, they're always in the game. They're always within striking distance because of what they do on defense. Where last night, you know, they score 9 points in the first half, but they only give up 16. And they score 22 points through three, but they only gave up 27. So they're there, and lo and behold, it takes 1-3 at the end to get the game to overtime. And then I believe they never trailed in overtime. And the Rockets, you know, I know people get sick of it, but they just win when it matters, and they find a way every single time. And last night, they found a way again. And so congratulations to the Rockets. And Mercer County, though, a great season, without a doubt, for the Golden Eagles. You know, really, you know, I think they had won, what, 17 games in a row. And they took a great team down to the wire and led for most of the game, but just came up short. So congratulations to Coach Sheedham and his group on a great season. But the Rockets, once again, move on. So,
yeah. And way to go, Coach Harris. You look back at Mercer County season two, and they lost to the Rockets early. But then, you know, where I said that it's going to be a little bit different this year when they took Beecher to the brink at the Warkins, where they had, you know, they were in the game against an elite team, who, by the way, Beecher had to rally last night to stay unbeaten to beat
Joliet Catholic.
So, great game last night. So Kunico tied it, right?
Yes.
With the three. Where was that at on the floor?
The left, I'm sitting on the...
Was it in the corner or was it on the wing?
No, it was on the wing. They brought him down low off a pick, and he got the ball, and and Mercer County defender was there, but he had just enough time to get a pretty clean look. But once again, the defense was pretty good. The one thing I kept waiting for them to take advantage of was Holden DeMuth was guarding Kunico most of the night, it seemed like. And he's 5'10", and Kunico's 6'5", yeah. And I kept thinking he'd take him down low or shoot over him, and that's a case where he shot over him. And the other two plays, that you know, I always say you got to have luck in the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Bull hit a three in the third quarter.
Landon.
Talking about Nick Bull probably hit a three in 1997 when Alito upset Yorkwood, who was 29-0 then.
Yeah, I kept waiting the whole game trying to say Landon. Please say Landon. So anyway, he hit a three that was a two. And because it just happened, I'm sitting, my table is right between the free throw line and the top of the circle at the end of the floor he shot it at. And so I'm looking right at him. And for some reason, I was looking at his feet too. And his foot wasn't like just touching the line. It was definitely on top of it, if not over it. So it goes in, and they signal three. And, of course, I'm on the broadcast going, well, wait a second. And then the refs got together, and they said, nope. I thought, okay, they're going to correct it now. And then they said, nope, it's a three. And I'm like, whoa, okay. And then I just checked my email, and there was a listener who sent me a thing. He was listening plus watching it. And at the end of the half, Rockridge inbounded the ball, and the kid threw – I couldn't see the shot because the fans were all standing and cheering, and I was blocked out. But some Rockridge player on the near side at about the free throw line at the other end of the floor threw a baseball-type shot, and it went in. And everybody's, did it count or not? And I thought it maybe was late, but I couldn't see when he let go of it. I just saw when it went through. And a listener said – he said on his – he looked at da-da-da-da-da, and he said the kid let go of the ball with – 0.2 seconds left, but the refs ruled it no good. So you never know.
So we can start referencing like I think about the great postseasons that we've had here, and you know the one I mentioned, the Nick Bowl,
right?
The year they Alito was like 6-19, and Yorkwood was ranked 2 in state.
Yeah, I remember.
And Alito barely won the play-in game against Alexis, and then they played the perfect game against Yorkwood, 29-0, and that team won
right
that night.
I was there
and beat. And then lose to Rockridge in the regional championship game. And then you're talking about time on the clock. That always brings up the memory of the Pat Lower shot against West Merwether. You know, if you're an Alito person and rooting for the Green Dragons, yes, that he got that shot off. If you're on the other side, and that night that there wasn't a seat to be had in that gym.
That's when the
regional semifinals were the separate nights, and it was a full house with Westmer on one side, Alito on the other, and then, of course, the people that were partial to Westmer know that shot didn't get off in time. And by the way, just a couple of notes programming-wise today. So we'll talk with Tom Locker, who's the head coach of Peoria Notre Dame. He's going to be on with us. That's who Rockridge plays Tuesday night. And it was interesting when he answered the phone, when I called him and he answered the phone, typical scratch, hello, you know, coaching voice, because they had to play three games this week, because Ty was telling me 14 and 17, but they play in the Big 12 in the basically the Bloomington Normal Champaign area where they're 3A, 4A all year long. And they're finally the most healthy they've been all year. And they got a kid that's going to play for Belmont in the Missouri Valley. And that's kind of an interesting story because Brian Wardle's kids are the daughters on the girls' basketball team. And he's the head basketball coach at Bradley. But the kid from Notre Dame's going to play at Belmont in the Missouri Valley, which is a rival of Bradley. And one other thing I want to mention here, as we go on, so I was monitoring some of our social media stuff. You know what my biggest pet peeve is this year? Well, really about the last 4 years. And I almost was going to post something last night, but I said, no, I'll wait and say it on the air. So somebody posted, I'm not going to name whoever, but asked something about the NFHS feed isn't working. Could you talk to somebody about that? And I'm like, yeah, call NFHS,
right?
Whoever they are, or wherever you can get a hold of them.
Yeah,
we're the local radio station, so that would be like us. We're broadcasting, having a technical issue, and somebody saying, "Hey, with NFHS, could you try and get a hold of WRMJ and tell them that their stream isn't working on WRMJ?" Sick of hearing that type of stuff.
Jeremy
all the time. And you pay your money to NFHS. Don't ask us about it.
Right.
Ask NFHS.
Yeah.
So I, you know,
it's
so
not the high school. Yeah. I mean, you can tell. Jeremy Adolfson told me they were having trouble with.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm saying. Like it has nothing to do with us.
Right.
And I don't care if it's not working.
Yeah,
I
mean, we're glad it's not.
Yeah, well, that's up to you. You guys paid for it.
They're competitors.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You find out why it's not working, or ask for your money back. We have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
We're broadcasting a high quality broadcast on small market radio with talent.
Yeah,
right. Well, but I mean, that's just my pet peeve when I saw that last night. It's like,
I want you to tell your son-in-law to thank you very much. I'm going to get him an extra special wedding gift so that I got to do that game last night. So that was fun. I said it on the air. I said, when Jim came on board, it was nice that I didn't have to be out all the time doing games, but I always felt like going, okay, Jim, good job during your regular season. I'll take over now once the regionals get
here. I had to sleep in a tent at Big River State Forest last night because nobody was supposed to mention that Tess got engaged and tell her social media post this morning. So thanks a lot, everybody, for going to hate me. Because, no, I'm just kidding.
You told me I could say something at 7, and then I forgot. And then at the end of the game, I said, oh, that's right. Yeah, I guess.
So Tess is engaged to Zach Anderson, who played some of his baseball games on WRMJ and WRMJ.com back in the day. What happened to the Tigers in the second half? And I tell you,
I'm going to need to take off. I've got some grandpa duties to do here. So
congratulations,
Lisa.
I
tell people like the identity of this station, and so for me last night, I'm like that is like John Hoshite 2.0 on the air last night. In terms of those high drama moments, when I reflect on the legacy of this station, I mean, that was like pinnacle broadcast lesson. I thought was awesome, man. The excitement, enthusiasm. I'm like, man, this is so fun listening to this.
I like the open to the Sports Line show. That was neat when you guys put that together.
But the funniest thing is, though, at the end, I was like, so when Tatum and I were driving home last night, this is what we did. So we were coming back from the Quad Cities, and it was 3 minutes. So basically the whole second half. And I said, well, I'm not leaving the car until this game ends. You know, so end of regulation. So we drove until the regulation ended, and then we came home and, went into the house and listened on the app or whatever. Yeah. But it was interesting. I had a listener reach out to me last night and said, man, are you listening to WRMJ on the radio? Big old, like, jam box type of thing.
Yeah.
And the wife said to the husband, well, I got it. There's an app for that, right? And he's like, no, I'm going to listen on the radio.
Sounds better on the radio.
Farmer, I loved it, man. So anyway, it's that type of, and you know it. I mean, you've done it for whatever, for however long, since 79. This is, you know, I always tell people the difference here between us and a lot of other people is there's a connection between this and the listener and the schools where, you know, we take a little ownership in what we do. And I think that's
right.
It comes across the airwaves.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad I got to do it.
So anyway, so Tatum, so when we're listening in like whatever, and you're saying at the end, well, this could be my final basketball broadcast ever. And like, well, is he dying or what's going on? I don't know if it's going to be your final basketball broadcast ever. You may have to do a 9:30 game at the State Farm Classic next year.
Maybe
Thanksgiving tournament. He'll bring me back for the Thanksgiving tournament or something.
No, and then I was thinking of the one thing too, the one funny story John always tells, you know, where's your grandparent? It's funny, you know, I was thinking last night, I was following then the social media of the El Paso Gridley Notre Dame game, Peoria Notre Dame, because the winner of that game plays the winner of Rockridge Mercer County. And the guy, there was like a TV guy that was kind of tweeting the situation, and he kept saying, things are getting chippy. Things are getting chippy. And I'm thinking, is he talking about a hockey game, the Blues? And then I think of Leo Van Cleef, his grandson, that always says hockey instead of basketball, right?
Yeah, whatever sport we're watching. What are we, Leo, what's that? Hockey. No, Leo, it's basketball.
All right.
That? Football. Right. No, it's hockey.
So, all right, we'll let John get to his grandfather duties.
Thanks a lot. So. Yeah, I'm glad I got to do it. I'll let you talk about the Tigers. That was a tough one for them. They got off such a good start. We're hoping to get two teams down there next week, but I guess we'll just have one.
Yep. All right.
See you, John.
Thanks, John.
All right, I'll be listening on the air.
All right. All right, so let's segue. Sherrard was leading at halftime last night, so things felt pretty good, and things not so good in the second half.
Well, it was the way the game was played in the first half, it like had kind of the makings of like a really great game, because McComb right away hit two threes to go up 6-0, and then by the end of the first quarter, Sherrard led 9-8. It was back and forth in the second. Sherrard got their biggest lead at 16-11. They were up 5, and then McComb rallied to go up 20-19, and then Sherrard scored the final 4 points of the quarter to go up 23-20 at halftime. And then in the third quarter, it was kind of, or I should say in the second half, it was basically all McComb. The Bombers outscored the Tigers 16-2 in the third and 31-9 overall in the second half to win 51-32. And really, like, the second half, Sherrard, their first field goal in the second half came with 3:13 to play in the fourth. And, you know, to me, McComb is so good defensively, and with their full group of players this season, they're now, I believe, 19-2. Their only two losses with their full group of guys available were to Rock Ridge and West Hancock, and both of those were by 3 points. And they, in the second half, just really kind of like ramped up the pressure, and Sherrard had a lot of trouble getting good looks at the basket, and the good looks they did get didn't go in. Just two field goals in the second half, and the Tigers, their season ends in the regional championship for the second year in a row. Another successful year. They've turned the corner as a program, but haven't quite been able to get over the hump, and I think they'll next season another really strong outlook with you look at the returning talent they have. But I know a really special group of kids that played their last game for the Tigers last night that helped kind of turn that program back around. Great season for Sherrard.
So, and I know McComb defensively with Coach Anderson, they've done such a great job. They play a lot of low scoring games, but at least in the third quarter, you should watch the game. I mean, couple possessions, couple segments, maybe where it's the difference if Sherrard gets a hoop here or a hoop there, it changes maybe the dynamic of kind of that third quarter.
Well, I think Sherrard scored, McComb, I think, scored the first 8 points of the second half. It was it went from 23-20 at halftime to 28-23 McComb, and Sherrard took a timeout, and it felt like, I mean, they had to score that possession or it was going to start to kind of get away from them, and they didn't, and then I think McComb went up by 7, and once they got it by double digits, you knew it was going to be really tough to come back with the way McComb plays, so... just not enough on the offensive end for Sherrard last night. Like we said, just 9 points in the second half. But McComb's really good. They were really impressive last night, and they played great on Wednesday against Farmington too. So they're a team that in the second half has really turned it on, and they'll play Manual on Wednesday, which is a whole other thing. But good luck to them Wednesday night. We'll have the game.
Yeah, well, in Manual last night, they 30-pointed Clinton, who at one time was deep into the season unbeaten. Yeah. But they've really, here in the, you know, late in the year, against the 2A competition, Manual's really, they've really done it number right on teams. So it's going to take a tremendous effort for a McComb to battle Peoria Manual. So Sherrard finishes at what this year?
22-8. Coach Johnson said second most wins in program history.
All right. So what do you? How do you size up this sectional then next week?
I think it's very good. And I know kind of when the seeding or when the postseason assignments were released by the IHSA, a lot of people kind of pointed to the Canton sectional and said, you know, this is the best sectional in the state. And you look at Peoria Manual, who's a state title contender. With what Notre Dame has done, I think they're a team that could win a state title definitely if they get through this. And Rock Ridge, I mean, I know, you know, they haven't necessarily played great in the postseason yet, but still, I mean, you are a fool if you count that program out this time of the year. So I think they'll give Notre Dame a game. I think they have the potential to give Manual a game if they see them. And McComb is a really good team too. I mean, you look at the quality of the four teams, it's going to be really good basketball played in Canton. I'm excited for that. And also, congratulations to a couple other of our, I guess we can call them fringe schools in the track, who won regionals last night. Coach Kelly, we love working with him. 2 regional championships in a row. They're really young too. They kind of have that program rolling. And then congrats to Princeton and Coach Smith. 3 regionals in a row for them. They beat Morrison last night, 57-55. Rallied from down, I believe they were down 19-6. And came back and won that game.
Wow.
So congrats to those guys.
So who are the matchups for Riverdale? They don't play one another.
No, they don't. I haven't looked at what the matchups are. And then we also cover the LTC, unfortunately, though. The Lincoln Trail wiped out last night. A-Town lost, Princeville lost, and Mercer County lost.
So,
and Anawan lost, too.
And it's interesting because I think one of the concerns, too, for Macomb was, you know, the playing not a great conference schedule right.
their,
in the Prairie.
Their non-conference schedule, though, is pretty
good. Yeah, they amped up that. But that's another issue for them. You know, they're kind of on an island with conference affiliation of where they can go. But getting back to, the game last night, Rock Ridge in Mercer County, and, you know, playing in postseason, it's a different animal. But again, I say when, you know, the so much similarities with the school districts that, you know, you saw that on display last night, that these two schools need to play everything.
Yep.
All year and every
Absolutely.
Play. What year is what week is Rockridge Mercer County football?
It's like week 7 or
yeah.
6.
So I mean, just people are going to get stoked for those type of yeah.
If anybody after last night still thinks that Mercer County belongs in the Lincoln Trail instead of the track, I really don't know what to tell you. I mean, how much fun was that for those kids, the players, the students, I mean everybody. I mean, you just don't get that playing in the Lincoln Trail. And that doesn't mean that there aren't good programs or good teams in the Lincoln Trail. It just is there's not as much meaning because there just isn't the built-in, you know, you don't know any of these people.
Yeah.
You know the people that go to Rock Ridge. You know the kids that go to Sherrard. You know the kids that go to Orion and Monmouth, Roseville. That's where they should be. And starting next year, it'll be
That's
regional.
Where they will be.
Right, and it'll be regional title type atmospheres every Friday night, which will be... You know, a ton of fun for those kids. It's a really fun, you know, time for Mercer County, and I would hope that everybody's excited for that because, you know, last night they got a crack at the Rockets, who are the program, right? They're the standard in the area, and they took them to overtime, led for most of the game, weren't able to hang on. But, I mean, what an experience for everybody involved in that game last night. Like John was saying, just incredible from start to finish. But yeah, like we said about Rock Ridge, man, they know how to get it done. And I mean, you kind of track those scores. And to me, when I was seeing the score updates that John was sending and Mercer kind of kept bleeding, I was just waiting. I'm like, you know, Rock Ridge is going to make a run. And eventually they did. And the Golden Eagles were 30 seconds away from winning that game last night. Needed to get one stop and, Kunico hit a big three, and that sent the game to overtime. And then Rock Ridge, like we said earlier, able to kind of hang on. I don't think they ever trailed in overtime. I think Mercer County might have tied it once. But, yeah.
Yeah, I had a chance to win it at regulation. Well, coming up on the program today, we'll hear from the head coach of Peoria Notre Dame, Tom Locker, is on the program. That's who Rock Ridge will play Tuesday night. Also, we'll talk with, you know, we've been talking about kind of the March Madness experience and memories, and we caught up this week with Rhett Wiersba, who was an Olympic Conference player back in the day, graduated from Farmington High School in 2000. He's now the associate head coach of Indiana University women's basketball. Of course, they knocked off Caitlin Clark earlier this week, and I talked to him, I think, Friday morning, the day after they played Iowa, and very fond memories of competing in the Olympic Conference. And he said it was funny because when he got on the phone, he says, "That's awesome. 6 Olympic Conference schools are represented tonight." And I'm like, "What do you mean? You mean 4? And he goes, "Well, no." He goes, "Macomb, Mercer County, and then you have Rock Ridge and Sherrard." And then he said, "The sites are Farmington and Monmouth Roseville." So 6 schools are represented in the Olympic Conference.
Yeah,
so I thought that was awesome. So he talks, we get into, you know, kind of the you know, the postseason and what it meant to him growing up and traveling those rural roads here and some of the rivalries. And then he talks women's college basketball with us with Indiana, a lot of Caitlin Clark stuff too. So that's on the program today. And then we'll visit with Brian Roush as well. All right, anything else?
I just wanted, you mentioned that Olympic Conference connection. We were leaving last night. I was talking with Justice Keene, who does a great job
Justice
covering
Keene.
The Bombers. And then he had a suit on last night, which was awesome. And then Coach Anderson for Macomb. I said, I'm like, "You guys cool with an Olympic Conference sectional title game with Rock Ridge?" And they're like, "Absolutely, let's do it." So hopefully, I'm rooting for the Rockets and the Bombers Tuesday and Wednesday. What about you?
Yeah, me too. And then they should play the game at Wharton.
Yeah.
That's where the sectional title should be instead of Canton. But that, I think that Canton's a pretty good. I've never been to Canton, but you know, some of the pictures, that's a kind of a great setup too. To
so one more thing before basketball. We wrap up, we cover the whole sectional, so we'll have all 3 games, both semifinals and the championship, no matter what the matchups are. And then tonight we're going to replay that Mercer County Rock Ridge broadcast from last night. It's going to start at 7 is okay. What we're going to do. So I'm going to cut awesome. That up, but that'll be something to listen to. I'm excited to like actually be able to listen to it as I cut up the audio, because I listened to the tail end of it when I was getting ready to do the sports desk this morning to kind of have like a feel of what happened down the stretch, you know, and it sounded like a regional championship type atmosphere. And the same thing, you know, we didn't touch on the environment at Farmington, but it was great last night too. Sherrard and McComb both brought great crowds. And in the first half, man, it was great when it was going back and forth. It's too bad that the Tigers weren't able to kind of hang with them in the second half. So before we go to break, what's your outlook for Mercer County and Sherrard in 2024-25?
2024-2025. Boy, I'd have to think about that a little bit. I was optimistic. I like Coach Seedam's delivery in the post game last night. And, I mean, they're losing. I tell you, props to Lucas Collison, man.
Yeah, what a player
great
he was,
year.
Man.
And Colby Cox played so tough last night, too. But, you know, those are two big losses for them that people are going to have to step up. And the other thing I liked about Mercer County, too, that I watched, and I didn't get to see them a lot this year, but I like the development of the kid that played point guard, DeMuth. I thought a great job by him. And then I like kind of the development this year of they brought the Bolins kid off the bench. I think kids that come off the bench and can contribute is kind of a lost art.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's you need production from kids that come off the bench. And I think that's one of the reasons the Eagles had so much success this year. And the long kid hit a big shot, I know, in the semifinals on Wednesday night. And I tell you that the other team, you know, you talk about Sherrard and we talk about Mercer County Rock Ridge. Man, I tell you, Orion's got some good players.
Orion will be good.
The
Track West next year is going to be very good in boys basketball. You look at, obviously, Rock Ridge, you know, they'll be really good again. But like you said, Mercer County, you know, they are losing a lot. I think they're going to bring back, like, 8 points per game is all. So it's going to be, I think, you know, early on, it's going to be kind of, they're going to have to try to find where kids fit in and everything. But I think their, you know, sophomore class is pretty good. But you look at Sherrard, you know, like talking about them with Carton back, he has the potential to be one of, if not the best, like small school players in the area next year. I think Blackwell had a great year this year again. He'll be a senior next year. Carter Brown, you know, hopefully he can, you know, stay healthy. I know he was dealing
Carter
with some
Brown's
injuries.
Brown's going to be a seventh-year senior. Right. No, he's just going to be a junior next year.
And then
year.
You look at, like, you know, I really like what Aiden Taranez did for Sherrard this year off the bench. And, you know, Brody Bender's a really solid role player for them.
And
the
Veranda kid, too, right?
And Veranda, yeah, they'll be good. And then, like you said, you know, Orion should be solid. Riverdale has two freshmen in their starting lineup. They won a regional last night. And Monmouth Roseville's never a slouch either, so that should be a fun year next year. But it's not next year yet. It's still 23-24, and let's get to Canton on Tuesday.
Well,
let's go Rockets.
And I like what John Hoshite said, and I trust what he says and what he said about Mercer County's defensive intensity last night. That's the difference of where you're always going to be in games. If you make a concerted effort to play defense and get stops, you're always have an opportunity to win more games than lose. And I think if that, you know, hearing him say that last night, I think the Eagles in a good position next year. But so can if you were at the game last night, you can listen to John Hoshite's call tonight at 7 o'clock on the replay. Again, coming up out of the break, Peoria Notre Dame head coach Tom Locker. He's got the coach's scratchy voice this morning, so he'll size up that matchup with the Rock Ridge. We'll talk some old Olympic Conference hoops, and then Big Ten women's basketball with Indiana University associate head coach Rhett Wiersba, who is a Farmington High School graduate. You're listening to the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now Hey Dude Shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes Hey Dudes on sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com, talking America's original March Madness, and we will have coverage of the Canton 2A sectional beginning next Tuesday, broadcasting all three games. And the opener is the Rockridge Rockets taking on the Irish of Peoria Notre Dame, coached by Tom Locker. And they played three games this week, and they win the title last night, beating a very good El Paso Gridley team down in Stanford at Olympia High School, I think 47-30, the final. All right, Tom Locker, I've heard a little back and forth about your team this year dealing with some injuries, but it looks like, right, you're getting healthy at the right time?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it seems like the right time, right? But yeah, we've dealt with some adversity through injuries and through some very serious illness this year. It's been kind of crazy, but at one point in time, we had our two our best player out and our glue guy out, two guys who had started last year for us, and we had them out for over a month, and we still are missing our glue guy. He's been out since December, so we're not totally whole, but we're about as whole as we've been all year right now.
And a really good week of basketball for you. I know Eureka has had good recent success. You beat them 67-46 on Monday night. And then a nice win over Normal U-High that has a tradition in their program, 49-28. I know El Paso Gridley won the State Farm Classic back during the Christmas holiday, and you hold them to 30 last night, 47-30. So just tell us a little bit about your week.
Yeah, you know, I think people didn't really know. Playing in a big conference like we do, 3A, 4A conference, the Big 12, not having a great record because of the competition, but also because of the adversity we face through injury and stuff like that. Our record isn't really great, and I don't think a lot of teams really know where to put us. And you know, so we played the play-in game, and we started to we had played really well. We had beat Columbia down in Riverton the week before. We played really well against our arch rival Richwoods, who's ranked in the top 10 in the state in 3A. Cut that game to one twice in the fourth quarter. So our guys had started to believe our cohesion was getting back, and then we go into the postseason, and Eureka, they had some injuries too, but they have two really good players, and Tyler Heffron is all-time leading scorer there, and you know, so we were concerned about how we were going to play there, but we came out and played really well, I thought. And then U-High had beaten us earlier in the year without our two best players, and we felt like you know, maybe they would make a difference, and so we came out and played really well. It's probably the best we've played for a whole game consistently defensively all year. And then, you know, El Paso Gridley's really good, and you know, again, concerned about some things that they did, but our guys came out and responded, made some adjustments, and played really well. Our leading scorer, they played a box and won in our leading scorer. He only had seven, but he made everybody around him better. His gravity, he used his gravity, you know, to expand his teammates' games, and it was really nice to see. So you know, I feel like we beat three really solid teams, and probably two really good teams in U-High and El Paso Gridley, and I feel like our guys are believing. I feel like they're getting better, and again, that cohesion is there now, and like we thought it was going to be during the year. And it's, but you know, like you said earlier, it's the right time.
And so you're the healthiest you've been all year, but you're still missing one kid then, is that right?
Yeah, we are missing one kid. He had hurt his knee earlier in the year. We beat Rock Island And the next day at practice, he tore his knee up, had to have surgery. He was out for 2 months and was coming back, and then really tore his ankle up practice right before the Richwoods game. Sorry, the Richwoods game, right before the Richwoods game. And, you know, he really tore that ankle up. So, you know, he's in a boot right now, but it's going to be a long shot for him to play again.
Yeah. You got that kind of scratchy morning voice coaching where you've had three games this week at you know, high octane games. All right. So, yes. I mean, a little bit about your personnel. I'm assuming you knew coming in this season, you had maybe an opportunity to do some special things, had to overcome some injuries and health issues. I mean, you feel this team, you know, coming into the season before all that happened, that, hey, I think we got a chance to do some stuff here in 2023, 2024.
Yeah, we did. We really did. We had a really good summer. You know, being in 2A for the first time is an adjustment. You know, obviously, if you don't know basketball, if you don't know high school basketball in Illinois, you might just think, well, 2A, going from 3A to 2A, that's easy. It's not. There are so many great basketball teams in 2A that could compete in 3A. And so we knew we had our work cut out for us. And, you know, we had to learn about we tried to play in as many 2A games as we could and get the lay of the land, if you will. And, you know, we felt like we could do something. We felt like we were there. We had to clean some stuff up, and, you know, but, you know, then injuries hit and stuff like that. And we're like, wow, let's just try to avoid the ship sinking right now. And to our guys' credit, they never quit. They never gave up. They, even when it got ugly, and it got ugly a little bit, because there's a few games where we only had five healthy varsity only players. And we just kept competing, you know, and in the Big 12, a lot of times that was taking a 20-point loss during those period of times. But our guys just kept getting better and kept working. And we just, you know, we just waited for our guys to get healthy, and they just kept buying in. So, you know, it's a testament to their fortitude, their willpower, and their belief in each other and in the system that got us through this. And then again, playing our best, most cohesive basketball at the right time of the year.
All right. It's interesting because I know I broadcast a couple weeks ago the Notre Dame girls playing Sherrard, who's one of our local coverage schools. And I know the Bradley men's coach has two daughters that play on the team, Brian Wardle. Yep. But the irony, so you have a kid that has committed to play, I think, at Belmont, right? So you'll be rooting against Coach Wardle, and you'll be rooting for Belmont next year. How weird that is. So tell us about the kid that committed to Belmont.
Yeah. So the Wardle girls and Coach Wardle, Coach Wardle recruited Owen. Owen Dillon is his name. Recruited him too, but Nashville had the pull at Belmont. Owen's a heck of a good player. He's a kid that came in as a freshman and his twins had started, his twin brothers had started for us for 3 years each. They were part of that team in 2019, 2020. That was number one in the state in 3A before we got shut down with COVID. And they're both they're the starting guards at Winona State, a really good Division II program up in Minnesota. So Owen comes from pedigree. His dad was a really good player at Spalding, which was one of the forerunners to Notre Dame here in Peoria. So Owen, as a freshman, kind of a little slow, a little soft, if you will, only played sophomore basketball. And as a sophomore, he really changed his body, got himself ready, really improved. He was our sixth man going in to that season. One of our senior guards got hurt at Christmas time, and Owen ended up starting the rest of his sophomore year from Christmas on, and really was so unbelievably valuable because he did all the little things that team needed. That team was stacked with guard talent, and stacked with, you know, I think all five of those guys are playing college basketball now on that team. And so Owen did all those little things. We nicknamed him the Worm for Dennis Rodman because he led us in rebounding. I think he was second in assists and played good solid defense. And then he comes into his junior year and he's got to change his game again. He's got to be one of the guys for us. And he did that. And he really worked on his game. And going into his senior year, he had a great AAU season between junior and senior year that summer and last summer. And And he just has blossomed into, you know, one of the best players, in my opinion, in Central Illinois. He's got, can really shoot it, but as he proved, as he's proven in the last week, he can do so many other things. Led us in rebounding, led us in assists, plays great defense. He's 6'9", but he moves like he's 6'2". He's just a really, really good player, really, really high IQ player, and just a dream to coach.
All right, and we wind down here with Coach Locker from Peoria Notre Dame. So you told me off the air you've watched the Rockridge Mercer County game a couple of times already. So kind of give us it's early here. You don't plan until Tuesday, but what about this matchup with the Rockridge Rockets?
Well, it scares me. You guys are dynamic. I don't know names yet. That's something we'll do after practice today with the coaching staff. It's kind of break down, you know, individual. We're just looking for tendencies right now, but I'd like to play fast. You guys can shoot, move the ball. You're aggressive defensively. They're good. They're good. And, my initial thing that I'll tell the guys this morning at practice is that be ready for another battle because they're going to give it to you. They're strong, they're quick, and they're very well coached.
All right. Well, looking forward to the ball game Tuesday night in Canton. Nice to visit with Tom Locker, the head coach of Peoria Notre Dame. I know you'll hear more from him Tuesday in our pregame show. And Coach, appreciate you responding to doing our email this morning. I love the March Madness experience, and I love your voice this morning, man. It's the coaching voice of the March Madness experience. So we'll see you Tuesday night in Canton. Thanks for the help this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And you're listening to WRMJ.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Save on Saucony at 6140RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 6140RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 6140RUN in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. Let's take a walk down memory lane, talking a lot about Olympic Conference and regional postseason basketball. Get a chance to visit with Rhett Wiersbe, who was a standout player in the Olympic Conference back in the day. A 2000 graduate from Farmington High School, played for his father, Tom Wiersbe. Of course, his older brother, Ben Wiersbe, also a Farmington farmer. Associate head coach of the Indiana University women's basketball team. We're going to get into that momentarily. Scored a big win over Iowa and Caitlin Clark this week. All right. When I say America's original March Madness experience, Rhett Wiersbe, a Farmington farmer through and through, what does that mean to you, and what type of memories does that bring back?
Oh, there's some great memories. Of, you know, postseason play, starts with the regionals into the sectionals. I still remember playing up in Moline in the super sectional. My sophomore year, we got down to Peoria and, you know, finished third, a team we thought was, you know, probably could have won the state championship, but, you know, finished third. But, you know, a lot of great battles, the regionals and sectionals, playing good teams, but also, you know, teams that you're familiar with, and just some great atmospheres.
It was interesting before we started rolling tape here with
with Rhett Wurz, but just talking about basketball in the local area. He said, is it right? Are there four old Olympic Conference teams playing for regional championships Friday night? We're recording this on Friday. And then he said, two of the venues then, also former Olympic Conference schools in Farmington and Monmouth, with Monmouth Roseville. So that league must have meant something to you, Rhett Wurz.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was great. I mean, it was, you knew night in, night out, you were playing good people, you know, tough competition. And that's what, you know, as competitors, you want to play against the best. And you knew night in, night out, you know, whether you were playing Macomb, Sherrard, Rock Ridge, Orion, like, they were going to be really good teams that were really well coached. And it's, I mean, those are some of the best memories of playing in those venues with great crowds. So I can only imagine what those games are going to be like tonight. You know, is it Macomb, Sherrard playing in Farmington, and Rock Ridge, Aledo playing in Monmouth? Like, they're going to be great atmospheres with, you know, and I have not followed a whole lot, but I'm assuming those are four really good teams.
Yeah, and then how much did you love those days? You know, playing, as I say, you know, we say it smells like school spirit, repping, you know, the school colors and playing in front of, you know, big crowds. And basically it's kind of, hey, it's my town against your town. It's my insurance agent against your insurance agent. It's my vet against your vet. It's, you know, whatever you want, my banker against your banker. I mean, how fun was that? And how much do you remember that type of stuff, you know, back in 2000?
Oh, I mean, it's awesome just because, you know, you're playing with these people that you've grown up with in front of your friends and your family who you've, you know, been around your entire life that are just packing arenas. You know, we'd go to places and there were standing, you know, lines to get into games for high school regionals and high school sectionals. You know, I remember playing, we played Abingdon in Knoxville and the line was so far out the door. We show up, you know, 2 hours before, and we're getting standing claps as we're coming in from people out in the, you know, or just these people that have supported you for years. Even a crazy, you know, story is last night, you know, it's 25 years later. There are two Farmington fans that come up to the game last night and they're wearing their Farmington t-shirts to our Indiana Iowa game last night.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that on your social media, Facebook page. I thought that was awesome. I'm like, man, is that the purple and gold of the Farmers? I think it is. How much does your dad, you know, he's been out of the game as a head coach, and I know he actively follows you and your brother who's coaching for Miami of Ohio. So how much do you think he misses, you know, being a head coach and this time of year when we're talking about, you know, regionals?
Oh, I mean, I know he misses just the, you know, the game planning, the strategy, but also, you know, kind of the relationships you make with the players, you know, on a daily, yearly basis. I know he misses me too. You know, he's up there after every game, you know, I talk with him and he's telling me things you could have done better and things you did well. And, you know, he'll come up and watch us play. And, but, you know, and I know he still keeps in contact with several of his former players of, you know, different memories they have. And, you know, I'm sure they're reaching out now, you know, it's regional time of, you know, all those regional atmospheres and experiences that, you know, he had coaching were great.
All right, let's segue now to women's college basketball, associate head coach at Indiana University. Let's first up talk about kind of your crazy week this week at Indiana. And I mean it when I say this, not just because I'm talking to you. I said this a couple weeks ago. The women's game has become so much more compelling than the men's game. Now, I'm not going to let you get into this argument over that, but I just think the storylines in women's basketball have been pretty interesting the last couple of years. And I tell you, the play in the Big Ten, the league is good with women's basketball. And I think, and I know you understand that, but what a weird week for Indiana women's basketball. So I saw you played, I think, a day game Monday against Illinois, who hasn't had the greatest of seasons. They pick up, a double-digit victory over you. Then you come home to Bloomington, and you play Iowa, I think, ranked fourth, and you really controlled that game and beat them. So tell us about kind of this crazy week of women's college basketball in the Big Ten for you.
I mean, the Big Ten's a really good league, and they're, you know, a lot of really good teams. And Illinois, they say they're not having as good of a season as they did last year, but they are very good and they're very dangerous. We beat them earlier by six at our place, but we knew what the way their team is structured, and Coach Green does a good job with them, but they're a really tough matchup for us. And, you know, we showed up and we did not play great, and they played well. They did things that we did not take away, and they took advantage of what we were doing. And quite honestly, we got our butts kicked. You know, I give them credit of they drove to the rim and we did not stop it, and our adjustments didn't work, and they kept on getting to the rim, and it was not a good performance for us, and they were good. And so for us, it was, you know, a little humbling because we did not play how we wanted to play. And again, a lot of that was due to them. You know, so we had to come back Tuesday. I thought we had a great practice. Wednesday, we had a good practice. And so as good as Iowa is, I had a confidence going in, like, if we play like we practice, we're going to be in good shape. And we went out there, and, you know, Caitlin Clark's phenomenal. She is really, really good, and she's hard to defend, and she's, you know, am I the best player in the country? And it's hard, but, you know, our goal was she's going to have to see a lot of different players. And, you know, we mixed up matchups on her, made it difficult. When we played them at their place, they kicked our butt up there, and so we had to make some adjustments. Up when we played Iowa earlier, a lot of their other players had good games for us. We'd try, let's make it tougher for them. And so we took away some of their other options, and I think that helped. And, you know, we played with a physicality and toughness yesterday that we haven't played with in a couple weeks. And so we kind of got back to our physical defense, and, you know, our defense let us, you know, kind of got us going. And then we have some really good shooters, and we started making some shots.
And I'm just curious, and I know, you know, we've been watching this for several years. You know, are you at all surprised, though, at, man, is he just going to shoot it from there? I mean, is he going to throw it up from that? Now, a lot of times it goes in. But I just think it's been absolutely bananas just watching some of that. It's like, wow, that's her range. She can just shoot it from there. I mean, is that – what's it like just kind of – I don't even know how you'd try to defend that and say, hey, we're going to let her shoot it from 31 feet. Oh, yeah, probably. No, we're not. We got to defend it because she can score. She can make it from there.
And, you know, and we've got, you know, one of our guards, Chloe Moore McNeil, has, you know, guarded her for a few years. And, you know, she takes pride in her. And so she has to pick her up. You know, she knows she has to be on her before she gets to half court. But the one thing I thought we did well last night was we didn't let her get early, easy threes. It's hard to kind of get going shooting a bunch of tough shots. But if she can get a couple easier shots to go, then those tough shots become easier for her. And so we didn't let her get the easy ones to get going early. And then I thought that, you know, that made it difficult. But every shot she had, she was contested. She didn't get any open looks. And, you know, we had a lot of help defense flowing to her. But she's so dangerous because, you know, everybody notices her shooting and her range and how far she can shoot it from. But she's a fantastic passer, and she's really fast. You know, I feel like, oh, just deny her. That's a lot easier said than done because she's fast, and if you try to deny her, she's going to go by you. She's really hard to game plan for, but I thought, you know, we came up with a plan, and our players just, they bought in, and they fought. And the thing is, they hit her. She had to see bodies, and she had contact all night long.
Yeah, and Indiana wins the game by double digits over Iowa on Thursday night. You know, you're at a program, Indiana, very successful on the women's side, and you've been drawing big crowds the last couple of years. You have to feel pretty good about kind of the status of where women's college basketball is at. Like I said, I think it's far more interesting game now than the men's game. But just how do you see it in terms of growth and popularity?
The big thing is growth is, you know, before when we, you know, first got it, I guess it's 10 years now, most of our fans were kids and older adults. Well, we have regular male, former male players that are, you know, coming to our games that love watching it. You know, I think that the talent level, the athleticism has risen in women's basketball, but there's still, there's not as many ISOs. There, you know, like a lot of the men's game now, because the players are so talented and so good, there's a lot of one-on-one. Well, while our athleticism has increased, we're not in that situation where you can just sit there and go one-on-one all game and expect to win. So there's more actions. I think there's a little more maybe offensive intricacies that are there. And I said for us, you know, we have some really, really good players. You know, we have who I think is the best post player in the country, Mackenzie Holmes, who has phenomenal footwork, great touch. And, you know, people watch her, they're always impressed of her footwork. And they're like, you know, a lot of that's just – the work that she does every day. And I think the work ethic of our players and the competitiveness of them continues to grow. And so because of that, their skill grows and the quality of the game grows.
All right. So a couple other things I just want to ask you. I know we're talking to you the Friday after the Iowa game, and I know associate head coach got a lot going on. We appreciate the time. What here's a question for you. What's the most misunderstood thing, you know, that maybe the general fan has about the commitment or the everyday life of a Division I student athlete?
I think the commitment level depends on how good you want to be. And I say, like, we are fortunate. We have players that we have 12 players on a roster, and all 12 players are going to text one of our staff members every day and ask for an extra workout the next day. So like on a normal weekday, Mackenzie Holmes is going to be in the gym for a 10 o'clock workout, and Lily Meister is going to be in there for 11. And like, they all have their own 30-minute to an hour workout that they're going to do between classes before practice. And so it's ways that they can, for some of them, like, you know, right now Mackenzie's playing 30 minutes a game. We're doing a lot of just maintenance of keeping her rhythm going. Whereas some of our younger players, we're still working on improving specific skills, whether offensively or defensively, that they get a 30 minute by themselves. And then they got class all day, then they're coming back. And then we got, you know, film, then they got weights, and then we got practice. Then after practice, they got, you know, rehab and body maintenance. You know, so there's a lot going on. There's a big commitment that, you know, it's a lot of people think it's fun, but for the ones that, if you want to be great, it is fun. If you just, you know, you're clocking in and clocking out, then it's a lot of work. But for ours, they embrace it and they want the extra work and they want the extra one-on-one time that they're getting to take their game to another level.
Well, because a lot of times I hear people say, you know, general fan base, well, geez, they're getting a scholarship to play basketball. How easy is that? Now, I know what tuition costs. I get that. So, you know, people are going to push back on me and say, well, yeah, there, you know, tuition is at a university like Indiana. Yeah, I get it. But what you just explained in terms of the commitment level and what you have to the type of input you have to provide as the student athlete, it ain't easy.
Right. And then, you know, in a place like here in Indiana, they're recognized everywhere they go. And, you know, they love it, but it's also, you know, our players can't just go out to eat anonymously. They go out to eat and they're going to have, you know, kids coming up asking for autographs. You know, our game's over last night and we put 20 minutes on the clock so, you know, fans can come down, and our players are there for an hour signing autographs, you know, and they got family who they want to go see, but like, they're going to, hey, we got fans who want autographs, we're going to sign them. And, you know, I know a lot of places do that, but it's, we got special ones that they're not leaving people behind. They're out there trying to see and trying to be a part of it. And, you know, it's who they are.
All right. The last thing I was going to ask you. So what is the, like, moment, the aha moment for you? Now, you've been doing it for a while, but still to be, you know, to say, hey, this is my vocation in life. I'm a Division I college basketball coach at a Big Ten university, right? Associate head coach of the Indiana women's program. I coach at all these great venues in the Big Ten. You know, when I go on the road, you know, I'm at Mackey, or I go to State Farm Center in Champaign. I get to go to the Barn at Minneapolis, you name it. I'm, you know, is there ever, like, do you take it for granted now, it's old hat, or are there these reflective moments where you step back and say, man, I'm really doing this right now, and this is my living?
I think there are times that you start taking it for granted, but I'll go, like, last night, you look up and there's over, we go in the locker room about 40 minutes before the game, and we look up at 40 minutes and our upper deck is almost completely full 40 minutes before the game. So that's, not that, hey, we played in front of 17,000 fans. There were 17,000 fans there 40 minutes before the game started. And, you know, they're doing the lineups and our student section's over there going crazy. You just kind of get these goosebump feelings of, this is why, you know, this is the experience of why these kids, you know, come to Indiana to play in front of atmospheres like this. You know, we go on the road, you know, and we're playing at Purdue and they've got, you know, they're, I don't know what they average, but they're going to fill it up for us and they're going to cheer straight against us. And it's just, it's kind of cool of, you know what, this isn't playing in front of 2,000 fans that like we got here. It's grown and there's a little more on the line and it's, you know, there's something serious going on. You know, last year we played our last regular season game in front of a sellout crowd and we won it and won the Big Ten championship. So like, those are like, these are what you're doing, but then it's also, you know, having conversations with, you know, Mackenzie Holmes broke our all-time scoring record and her dad and her mom coming up to me, like talking about, you know, 7 years ago, me sitting in their house in Maine, recruiting her of like, you know, everything is coming full circle and seeing the development of not just the players they are, but the people they become. You know, I still remember there's a young lady we recruited, one of our first recruits, and there were people that had said, you know, I don't know if she can make it in Indiana. And I still remember her senior day and her graduation day. And she didn't just make it, she graduated. And she's still playing professionally, but it's like, it was her graduating from Indiana that people didn't think she could do that part. Not the basketball part, but just her growth academically, personally, those are big things.
All right. Well, it's been great to visit with Rhett Weirs, but 2000 grad of Farmington High School, associate head coach of the Indiana University women's basketball program. And we always tell people, long live the Olympic Conference. And one of the greatest players in that league was Rhett Weirs. But so awesome to visit with you. And we'll be following the Indiana Hoosiers, man. Good luck to you.
Well, thank you. And congratulations to the Olympic Conference regional champions.
All right. And we'll have more coming up on WRMJ.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now, Hey Dude shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes, Hey Dudes, on sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. We're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. And Jim, this might be the most exciting point in the season for high school athletics. You have the onset of the spring sports here. You have the finishing of the state tournament in boys and girls basketball, wrestling duels this weekend. I mean, it's just a cornucopia of events.
It is. And I was telling you off the air, it's interesting. You know, if you look back in the like 70s and 80s, when you followed basically America's original March Madness experience, you know, it was two class system, right? 1A, 2A basketball. And basically, right, 1A basketball, small public schools, right? Primarily, that was kind of it. Now, there were some rare exceptions, of course, but man, I was telling you, I was looking at the 1A, 2A sectional girls basketball finals after Thursday night's game, and I'm trying to figure out, it's like, who are some of these schools, right? From Skokie, Ida Crown, have no idea about the heritage of that school. From Des Plaines, Willows Academy, right? Then that's 1A. I looked at then Father McGivney from Glen Carbon, heard a little bit about them in recent years. Rockford Lutheran now down in 1A, know a little bit about their heritage. And then in 2A, Crane Medical Prep from Chicago, right? Taking on Regina Dominican from Wilmette. They're 2A programs now. And then Chicago Phillips, their enrollment has declined so much that they're 2A. And I know we've talked before, Chicago Marshall, the girls' basketball power, they've dropped down to 1A in the four-class system. And then we were talking off the air, who's the school that's in the dual meet wrestling finals?
It is Chicago Rickover Naval Academy.
Do you know anything about these schools or not?
I know nothing. I know nothing about any of them. I know that Father McGivney was the founder of the Knights of Columbus. I also know a little something about Rockford Lutheran, but beyond that, boy, it's just names and points on a map.
All right, so you must have got that question in Scholastic Bowl about Father McGivney, didn't you?
Yes, yeah.
All right, so am I right, though? I mean, 70s, 80s, basically when it was 1A, 2A class, 1A and 2A basketball, two-class system. Basically, 1A basketball was just ruled downstate schools on both boys and girls, right? But man, how has that drastically changed here in the last 10 to 15 years?
Yeah, you know, and you're exactly right. And it used to be, you know, it seemed like it was the usual suspects that were at the, you know, round of the Sweet 16 all the way to the state tournament. And it was these little towns where you didn't have much else to do but, you know, dribble and shoot and play basketball. And now, yeah, like you say, it brings in a large part of the state. And I think that makes it difficult in some of the regionals to, you know, house the teams and not have travel sneak in because you've got, you know, a little bit of distance in between some of those schools.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about, you know, traveling or the school traveling outside of Chicago, downstate, or suburban Chicago as well, or, you know, those schools from outside of that area having to travel that way. I was going to tell you, too, I thought it was interesting this week. Now, it's not on the IHSA website, but the IHSA, they released a press release concerning this issue involving Kenwood Academy boys basketball team out of Chicago. And there was this investigation that started this week right prior to the regional, right? That's when it always starts, when these postseason games start, about residency bylaws. And the IHSA and the Chicago Public League got involved in this issue, kind of a back and forth. So they had to delay the semifinal game one day. They had to do that. They had to, I think, meet a couple times and render a couple of rulings. And they finally decided, initially they were going to say, nope, you can't play in the postseason, this Kenwood Academy. They come back, have another meeting, and they decide you can play. But five players who apparently were in violation of the residency bylaw requirement, they couldn't play. And then a couple of members of the coaching staff, I think, couldn't coach, including the head coach. But despite all that, then they win. So, man, you talk about, like, all of this stuff involving residency. I thought that was an interesting read. And as we're recording this, Kenwood Academy, I know they've received some headlines with, you know, one of the better Chicago basketball schools. They're playing for the regional title on Friday night. So it'll kind of be interesting to follow that story if they win Friday night in advance to the sectional round. Also, I think about boys baseball, right, and softball practice starting Monday. And we were joking off the air. If you can never look at a schedule, and we've always talked about this, you know, is that too early to practice in February, right? And that's when baseball and softball practice are going to begin this year. Right? If you can't practice outside Monday next week with the way the weather's been here recently, you ain't never going to be able to practice outside with these early starts in baseball and softball. So I hope that, you know, all of these teams can get outside and practice where you're supposed to practice at with baseball and softball, right? Outside. And then, Brian, the first games are going to be played, can be played March 11th for baseball and softball. So I know people, wow. When I talk to my ag meteorologist, they always warn of a false spring. Hopefully that's not true, because then March 11th will roll around and it'll be 36 degrees and you'll be broadcasting Lanark Eastland playing who in baseball up there? Somebody.
Probably like West Carolina.
Yeah. All right. It'll be 29.
Hey, Jim, one more thing.
Go ahead.
I want to mention Galena. They've advanced on the girls' side to the Super, and they're looking to get back to state. They've placed the last 2 years, and they're looking for kind of a rarity. They won the 1A title in volleyball, and they're looking to win in basketball, and they're the top-ranked team right now in 1A.
Do you know most of the girls that play volleyball? Are they basketball kids too?
Yeah, a number of them, yeah, including a couple of the better players on both teams, yeah, you know, both volleyball and basketball, yeah.
And I didn't look at the bracket. Who does Galena have in the Super Sectional then?
They play down at Brimfield, and that is against Illini Bluffs.
Oh, that'll be a great matchup then on Monday. The winner moves on to Redbird Arena. I don't know what the corporate name is now. It'll always be Redbird Arena to me. Right. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Toledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists and Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Save on Saucony at 614-0-RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg.
All right, the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning winding down. And one clarification, I didn't realize this, but all of the games at the sectional next week at Canton, including the Rock Ridge game Tuesday night as they take on the Irish of Peoria Notre Dame, those games are all 6 o'clock next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. So hopefully the Rocket fan bus can start up at 2 o'clock and
let the kids out of school early.
Go to the basketball game for
America. Let the kids out of school early, Mrs. Hassan. Come on. And Mr. Bush. Mr. Bush.
Mr. Bush makes the final decision. That's right. We need him to referee that.
Yeah,
game.
Right.
Him
right.
And Bizzari.
Yeah.
Jay
yeah.
Bizzari, right?
Yeah.
Who, and then Sean Strahan. Sean they're Strahan. All three. We need yep. the Rock Ridge crew. Could you imagine what if they would have walked in last night and it would have been officiating the Mercer County Rock Ridge
that
game?
That would be funny. They need Tody Holtschlag to balance that out.
But a couple things about, we're talking to John about it today, just kind of the connection we have with, you know, listeners and communities we cover. And I wanted to do a better job of describing a private message I got last night. This is a private message screenshot, a conversation between a husband and wife in the area talking about WRMJ has the championship game on, and the husband took a screenshot of this, like, beatbox radio he has, and the wife responded, you know there's an app for that, right? And he's like, yep, but he's still listening to the radio the old-fashioned way, which is the way you should do it, but the app, you know, 21st century stuff, right. Yeah. All right, and we always like to, you know, the great relationships we develop with the schools we work with, you know, whether it be football in the fall or, you know, baseball, softball in the spring, whatever the sport is. And it's always, you know, there's a finality when the season comes to an end. And basketball is kind of a different animal, I tell people, because it's a long frickin' season, I tell people, because you go through the two holidays, right? You go through Thanksgiving, you go through Christmas, and a lot of games. So you spend a lot of time with a lot of people and you get to know them. And I thought it was really nice. I got a chance to listen to post-game last night. And the finality of the season is tough when it's over. You don't go to see people you see all season long, right? So I thought it was nice what Alex Johnson said about the station last night.
Ty, you're great, man. I mean, it's been fun. I really WRMJ is no one has this, and no one local sports schools like our size, Rockridge, Alito, nobody has this type of coverage. And I mean, you and your dad, you guys just do a terrific job. And so I thank you for the coverage. And you know, hopefully then, you know, next year we'll be celebrating together a championship.
Right. Thank you, Coach Johnson, but it's not Alito, it's Mercer County. Come on, man.
Well, that's like Rhett Wiersbe, though. When we were interviewing him today, he still refers to Mercer County as Alito. And a lot of people, you know, always default to that with the old Olympic Conference connection.
But so. Those were very nice words that Coach Johnson said. You know, and I said this like wrapping up our broadcast last night. The Sherrard people are really the best. They really are. You know, I've been around them a lot this year with covering them in football, and then you know we did a lot of their basketball games this winter too, and I just really love those kids and their families and like those coaches over there. I just, like I said, I was around those guys a lot, and I was sad. I just felt like they were due to win one of the big games last night, and I was sad when they weren't able to do it. But
man,
yeah,
me too, man.
Yeah,
and
I really thought they were driving over there. I thought there's no way we're losing this game tonight. Because it just felt like a storybook. They finally had everybody back, but unfortunately, you know, McComb's very good though.
Are you in? Well, I was going to ask, are you in the dad's club or what is that thing called?
I got invited. I didn't have time. Jansen Bender wanted to come.
Is he the God fearing president of the dad's club?
I think. I mean, who else would be? I mean, come on, he's the man.
So they got together at the Farmington Pizza Company. Yeah. Is that where they were at?
I
bet you that was a good time.
I bet it was. It was before the game, and then one thing that Coach Johnson said post game too, when he was talking about like next year. He mentioned Brody Bender, and he said, that kid bleeds purple. And I'm like, I bet he doesn't bleed as much purple as his dad, though.
Well, and here's really what – and I like what Coach Johnson did last summer, right? Two things I really love that he did. So – and I'm bummed I didn't I wanted to get to one of them, and I didn't, where he had the play in the park thing. I hope he does
And he said they're planning on doing it.
And then I love the thing he did – because that's the one thing that I think we lose in the sport of basketball is the way you open up the season. Because, you know, basically the meet the team, kind of the only thing we do for meet the team is basically the fall sport when they have the football scrimmage and the volleyball scrimmage kind of thing open for the public viewing. And I always thought, you know, I think Mercer County did a couple years when Mike Jones was the head coach where they had – kind of a meet the team type of night where they had a scrimmage. And I thought the idea that Coach Johnson did at the beginning of this year where they had a meet the Tiger where they had scrimmage for every program they have. I hope they do that again next year. And then here's the other thing, and I would say we would even like to broadcast it, is I wish somebody, and I know I've spoke to Coach Winkler about this, I wish somebody would do a modified shootout in the summer where it's at a playground. Where it's a summer league shootout, bring four teams in, or it's four teams, it's round robin. And I'd like to go over and just broadcast it.
I
say, we're going to broadcast this game from the park, whatever park you want to play at Matherville where or whatever town you want to play.
You spoke about the showcase thing they did. And I went that night, and it feels like that wasn't very long ago. It's crazy that the season's over now, but it was really cool. Like, they had, you know, third grade through varsity play, and it was awesome. They had the band there. And Coach Johnson, his like post game interview last night, I thought was really great. Just kind of talking about like, you know, the expectations, how they've risen for that program, and you know, he touched on like, you know, all the stuff they do, the park stuff, the Tiger Showcase night is what they called it, the you know, camps they host. He said, you know, for us, we can't cut any corners if we want to have sustained success, and I believe in that program, I really do. I think next year could be a special year for them, and I was happy to cover them this year and very happy to cover Mercer County as well. They were really fun to watch. I mean, they really kind of grew throughout the season. You know, I know like early they kind of struggled a little bit early in the season, but then in the second half really kind of rolled through the conference schedule and got to a regional title game for just the second time in school history. Coach Sedam and that group did a great job this year, and I like where they're heading to. I know next year early will probably be a little bit, you know, like we said, you know, in the open this morning, they got a lot to kind of figure out with rotation pieces with the level of kids they're losing, but I still think, you know, they're moving in a solid direction.
Well, and the one thing I like about the hoop season next year, Eagles going to Western Hall, right, for the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament, so that'll be a nice new Christmas addition for them. So, you know, still got the Rockets in the postseason, and it should be, I mean, that should be a compelling game Tuesday night, taking on Peoria Notre Dame, a very deceiving record. They have a D1 prospect, a D1 signee, actually, and a team that plays in the Big 12. They're a 3A, 4A schedule. So it's going to be a knockdown, drag out, no question, on Tuesday
and
night.
And then Wednesday it's Macomb and Manuel, and Friday hopefully the Rockets are going for the sectional title.
Against the Macomb Bombers.
Yeah, that's what I want, but we'll see. Justice told me last night, he said I was the biggest Clinton basketball fan in the state, and I said I was right there with you too.
You're talking about the Clinton Maroons, not the River Kings.
Correct,
the Maroons,
yeah, because
Central Illinois.
He didn't want to see the Bombers have to play Manuel, and I was okay if Sherrard won, if they didn't have to play Manuel again, too. But, yeah, Manuel, they're good. That sectional's going to be fun, man. I'm glad we got a team down there, and it should be exciting basketball next week. There's nothing better than postseason basketball, in my opinion.
Weird that their 6 o'clock starts. That's strange. Yeah. But so about 5:30 broadcast, I'm assuming, Tuesday. Maybe even a little earlier than that.
Yeah, all right. Before we wrap up, do you have any like final words you want to say about the Golden Eagles and the Tigers in 2023?
I'm proud of Coach Sedam and Coach Broth. They've done a great job. And I thought, you know, seeing them play this year, I thought this team is capable of competing with the very best at the end of the season. And like I said, Lucas Collison, such a dynamic player. I thought such a great year for him. And he elevated his game last night when they needed it and put them in a position to win. And I think, you know, like I'll reflect back to what John said, you know, he knows what he said about defensively, about how that team played. If they, you know, with the kids that have to fill the key spots, if they stay with those concepts and play that way on the defensive end, they're going to win more games than they're going to lose.
Right.
And I think they're in a position to be very competitive next year. And I think Sherrard too is looking to turn the corner. They turned the corner this year, but in terms of winning a regional title, I think they're going to be in the mix. And then, you know, it's interesting, too, next year about basketball. So we're going to get a look at Peoria Notre Dame and Peoria Emanuel next year as well. And I think probably one of those teams is going to play Sherrard and one of those teams is going to play Rock Ridge at the Great Western Shootout.
They're both coming.
That's at A-Town, yeah. So Peoria Notre Dame and Peoria Emanuel are in the field at the Great Western Shootout at A-Town. That's different from the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament, but I'm assuming that one of those schools is going to play Sherrard, the other is going to play Rock Ridge. And then, you know, the other thing is it's about the draw. So how are they going to draw that postseason schedule and where you're going to go through? Normally, Rock Ridge has been going through the North in the past years. This year, they're going to the South, and what that configuration does, that's a great that's a tremendous impact on what the postseason route looks
like. And I'd assume next year it's going to be the same, because it's the it's the 2-year enrollment cycle, so nobody's going to shift. I mean, it'll be the same schools that are 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A, so I don't know how they could they could change it, but I think that it'll probably be pretty similar to what it was this year, I'd imagine. But again, it's not next year yet for the Rockets.
That's right.
We still got basketball in 2023-24. All week in Canton, I'm excited, man. Going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully we get the Rockets back to the Sweet 16. And hopefully next Saturday we're talking about a broadcast Monday coming up in Springfield.
Downtown Springfield at the Bank of Springfield Center. Yeah.
All right, anything else you want to say?
That'll do it. Fun week. It's great covering all the schools, and I, you know, tip of the cap to all of our friends basically everywhere, because Monmouth-Roseville is all like Jeff Ewing, Jeremy Adolphson, Brady Stromquist. It's like a reunion when you go down there. And then I know the Farmington people have always been great with Mr. Otto and Mr. Mosier.
It was ran great. That was a great regional site at Farmington. I can't say enough about how well they ran that thing. It was awesome.
And now we go to Little Giant Land.
And like we said earlier before we wrap up, congratulations to Riverdale and Princeton as well on winning regional titles. I love Coach Kelly. I'm so happy for him and the Rams.
Got a great program.
Two regionals in a row, man. And I think they really... they had that great team a few years ago, and I think they got screwed in the seeding and had to play Rock Ridge in the regional championship. Yeah. So I'm glad the past couple of years they've been able to get to the sectional. So congratulations to them. and Coach Smith up at Princeton. And then, three track teams onto the sectional.
That's awesome. And then I'm going to say Iowa 91, Illinois 89.
No, because Grandma and Grandpa are going.
Yeah, they're going, but Illinois can't defend anybody. So Owen right. Freeman will have 27 and 27 points, 11 rebounds.
Yeah, well, come on, Grandma.
He hasn't lost at the State Farm
Enjoy
Center.
Enjoy, Grandma. No, he hasn't. Neither has Brock Hardy.
Yeah, so.
All right.
All right, that'll do it for the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. Hey, John Hoscheit was here earlier today, right? He's yeah. got grandpa duties yeah. With Leo Van Cleve and all those other grandkids. And
Vivian.
And, yeah, Vivian, right?
Newborn.
New daughter,
yep.
That's right.
Congratulations to Lisa yep. and Pat, right?
And for Ty Taylor, we thank Brett Wiersbe today and also Tom Locker, head coach of Peoria Notre Dame, and our good friend Brian Roush. And that'll do it for the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes. Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots. Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.